So today is very exciting Torah portion, and it's my humor because it's very exciting. It's very exciting. I mean, it can be exciting for us right now, but it wasn't exciting for Joseph at all. I don't think he was happy during the times. He was happy for sure, but it was not an easy path for him. So with this in mind, I would like to read a few passages from today's Torah chapter and reflect on the life of Joseph. Joseph. Let us say together, Joseph. He's the picture of Messiah. When you read about Joseph, think about Yeshua the Messiah, always. So, Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, 4, 5, and verse 11. Genesis 37, 3, 4, 5, and 11. So, here is the story of Joseph. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his other sons because he was the son of his old age. So he had made him a long sleeves tunic. So actually, I relate to Joseph because I was the youngest one in the family, and I know that my brother was always guilty. I'm not sure, but he was always guilty. And I was younger, always right. Poor brother. So, I relate to this story. So, he had made him a long-sleeved tunic. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak to him in shalom. What a beautiful family relationships. Poor Joseph. Actually, I heard some explanation that Joseph was not clean, or you know, he was trying to steal something from their brothers, but I don't think so. I think he was pure, and youngest in his family. This was his guilt. Then Joseph dreamed a dream and told his brothers, and they hated him even more. So I had a question, why he told them? What do you think? I think he was young, not experienced, as his brothers were. So he told them. It was not his dreams, it was a dream from the Lord. And as a result, verse 11, so his brothers were jealous of him. But his father, and this is a very important part here, his father kept the speech in mind. So he recognized something because he had a dream when he was in his ages. So you and I can read that it was a prophetic dream. The Lord gave Joseph direction and revealed him his calling. That was the calling from the Lord to Joseph. And it was a huge responsibility on this young man. He was, I believe, 17. I don't remember exactly, but he was a young man. And he had this dream. It was a huge responsibility on him. But what was the price of this calling? What was the result of this dream and calling from the Lord? Let us read Genesis 37, verse 28. Genesis 37, 28. When some men, Midianite merchants, passed by, they dragged Joseph up and out of the pit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. So they divided 20, they divided on 11 parts or 10 parts. It was good for them. And they brought Joseph to Egypt. So, what is the story? Although Joseph was innocent, he was sold into slavery by his own brothers and went through incredible trials in his life. It was not fun for him. It was a difficult part. But this was not the end of his troubles. When Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, do you remember that story if you read this Torah chapter? an official of Pharaoh. The Lord blesses him in everything and gives him prosperity and success. Here's Joseph again. He's rich. He's again important. He's the chief of all house of Potiphar. Potiphar puts Joseph in charge of his entire house. It would seem that this is the time to enjoy his life, and all trials and hardships are already behind Joseph because the Lord gives him success. Because it was the Lord in his life. Here again, Joseph on top of everything. The Lord blesses him with everything. But not be hurry. Let's read what happened next. Let us open Genesis 39, verse 7 through verse, actually almost 20. What is story? Now, after these things, the master's wife, so when he was lifted up and the Lord gave him everything, blessed him, and Potiphar was so happy with him and put him in charge of everything, seems to be the Lord is in everything there. So, but after these things, the master's wife lifted up her eyes at Joseph and said, "Come, lie down with me." Wow. But he refused. "Look," he said to his master's wife, "my master doesn't think about anything in the house with me in charge, and everything that belongs to him, he is entrusted into my hand. No one in this house is greater than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. So how could I commit this great evil and sin against God?" Verse 11. Now on the one such day, he came into the house to do his work, and none of the people of the house were there in the house. Then she grabbed him by his garment, saying, "Come, lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand, fled, and went outside. So it's very important to remember, he did not commit any sin. He was clean again. He was honest. He was pure. He ran away from this temptation. And I think it was a great temptation for him. Verse 17. She spoke the same words to him, saying to his husband, "The Hebrew slave that you brought up us approached me and fooled with me. When I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment with me and fled outside." So she lied about him. She blamed him in a sin. Verse 19. Now when his master heard the words his wife spoke to him, saying, "Such are the things your slave did to me," his anger burned. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. So there he was in the prison. Again the problem. Joseph's righteousness and honesty cost him dearly. Again, he finds himself in an even more difficult situation from which there was no way out. And all of this only because Joseph did not compromise with sin. He decided to be strong, faithful to the Lord and to his master. After Potiphar's wife took his clothes, he did not run to his master or outside and did not disgrace the Potiphar's family, but defended Potiphar's reputation by humbly accepting the undeserved punishment and thereby covered the shame of Potiphar. He was quiet. He was a righteous man. So why am I talking about this today? I strongly believe because what happened in the world in the days of Joseph is happening in our days too. The same thing. And people have always been tempted by the same sins that they do today. The same. Therefore, it is said in the scripture, I would like to read 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through verse 17. 1 John 2:15-17. And this is commandment from the Lord to us. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, which means sins of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can you imagine Joseph if he would love the world? What would happen with him? For everything in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the boasting of life is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away along with its desire, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Forever. So, Joseph's brothers were guided by envy and a desire to be the first. They compete with him. And though Jacob had a unique blessing for each of them, because each was special and called by the Lord, but they decided to compete with Joseph. Likewise, today, there is a lot of betrayal and injustice around us, resulting from envy and false fears, when people do not trust each other and betray each other. Potiphar's wife was guided by lust, and although Joseph's life, to some extent, belonged to her, because he was her slave, she also wanted to take his soul and his faith. It was not enough for her to have Joseph in her house. She wanted all of him. It reminds me of this world. This world wants all of us. In the same way, today, some circumstances, people, and temptations around us promise us an easy victory and success if we follow the path of sin. But all they want is to take your faith and your soul from you. But what is very important is that Joseph remained faithful and kept his faith and good conscience in all trials. And he did not compromise with his convictions and his righteousness. So his righteousness and a clear conscience were most important to Joseph than anything else. You know, when I thought about it, reflect about this place of Scripture, I think one of the biggest enemies of God's ways and our faith is a compromise. It's my opinion. In itself, the concept of compromise is not harmful. I'm sure married couple knows it. We must compromise in our families in order to maintain peace and healthy relationship. What do you think? Husbands, you can say. Wives, you can say. I mean, if you do this, I can give you 1 week, maybe 1 month, maybe 1 year, by the grace of the Lord, but not more. This and this, it is not for the family. Wow. Such a reaction we have here. Looks like I'm saying something important. So I'm sorry, brothers. I'm with you. Everything's fine. Yes. And also countries must compromise to sustain peace and achieve success. Compromise is a good part in our life, daily lives. Therefore, compromise is an integral part of our lives. But compromise is unacceptable in matters of our conscience, faith, and righteousness. This is not the place to do compromise. We can't compromise with our faith. An easy path of compromise is unacceptable in our walk with the Lord. Let's say together, unacceptable. Unacceptable. But to our regret, now is the time when humanity has confused concepts. And as a result of that, some people today are not ready to compromise on simple issues of life. They're so strong holding their own position in life. At the same time, are quickly prepared to sacrifice their faith and spiritual principles. Like that. And often people are ready to achieve career, growth, or some success through lust, corruption, sin, and deceit. There is saying that the end justifies the means. Have you ever heard this saying? I can share with you something. Do not tell anyone. This is all our secret. This is an absolute lie. Absolute lie. The goal cannot be achieved and cannot be excused for iniquity and sin. And we do not have permission from God to achieve high goals with the help of sinful motives and actions. We don't have permission from the Lord to do so. And as the children of God, our primary calling is to live by the principles of the Holy Scriptures and build our lives in accordance with them. This is our calling. If you want to know your main calling, you can open the Scriptures and read about it. It is there. To be the children of God. Clean, pure, walk with the Lord. I would like to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy 3, 15. But if I delay, I write so you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, in the place of God, in the congregation of believers, which is the community of the living God. Living God, He's alive. The pillar and foundation of truth. Can you imagine? We are the pillar and foundation of truth. Because we are a community of the living God. Matthew 16, 18. Yeshua tells Peter, Matthew 16, 18. And I also tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol, of hell, will not overpower it. Will not overpower it. It's impossible. It is not our way to live, to be in sin or compromise with the sin. So our congregation is a city of refuge for people perishing in their sin. We are the city of refuge. We have no other choice but to keep the faith and walk in the righteousness of our Savior and Lord Yeshua the Messiah, which was given to us by Him. And Joseph is an example of this. Amen. So Joseph was unjustly condemned by his brothers, who were ready to judge his motives and actions. They were ready to judge. And you know, people are very easy to judge others. But he remained righteous when the hearts of Joseph's brothers were evil and arrogant. They fought for influence, and therefore, when Joseph told them the dream that the Lord gave him, it was from the Lord, it was his vision, they took his story as a desire to control them and rule over them. Why? Because they were unclean, and he was pure. They judged him according to themselves. And the worst thing is that they were absolutely sure that they were right and that Joseph was cheating on them. They were sure about it, all of them. Joseph did not compromise when Potiphar's wife offered him her protection and pleasure in exchange for sin. And he did not want to achieve his career in exchange for the betrayal of his master. He withstood all trials and remained faithful. Let's just say together, he remained faithful. What a great story. He remained faithful. The story of Joseph is more relevant today than ever before, when it seemed that the whole world is going into war against the Lord and His anointed ones. So, and be prepared. This is happening around us. We are called to be children of God and live pure lives to please our Heavenly Father. Amen. And Joseph is an example of this. He's a great example. He received his calling when he was a young man. and he had a dream that determined his future. He received the calling to be the way of salvation for his family. It was his calling. And his father, Jacob, heard and understood Joseph's dream because he had the experience with the Lord in the past. He himself had a dream that determined his future, a dream in which the Lord appeared to him and gave him a vision, the direction for his life. And now his son Joseph has a dream in which he receives a father direction for his destiny. And now here's the picture, very important. I want to capture your attention. It would seem that this is the calling from God. Was it from God? Yes, from God. And everything according to the will of God should be easy. Therefore, everyone in the family should recognize Joseph's importance and authority, it would seem for him. But the fact is that there can be years of preparation between calling from the Lord and the direct fulfillment of this calling. Amen. Sometimes when the Lord prepares you for a specific purpose, it takes a long time. We want to be very quick, fast, like that. But sometimes we are not ready. We need to be prepared. And very often happens, then the higher the goals, the more responsible the task, the more preparation and obstacles you face. Sometimes it happens this way. Remember Nehemiah, who was called to build walls around Jerusalem. Remember Moses, who prayed, and who wants to be a Moses? The Moses or the second Moses? Third Moses? I don't. I said, Lord, please deliver me from evil. Not lead me into temptation. Remember Yeshua, who brought us redemption and the salvation of our souls. They were tested. They went through a lot of persecutions. The higher the goal, the larger the calling, the more opposition and pressure, and the longer preparation time. Amen. But the most wonderful news, I have wonderful news for us, is that even if today you go through betrayal, through the temptation of sin, and remain faithful to God and His calling, if you remain faithful, the Lord will surely deliver you and give you freedom. Surely. And this is the good news for you. So if you are going through a difficult time, remember, this is not forever. It will have an end. And the Lord prepared glory for you. He will bless you abundantly. When Satan tempted Yeshua, he offered him all the earth's riches in exchange for worship to him. But Yeshua did not want anything from Satan. Yeshua knew who his father was and expected a blessing only from his father, from him. I would like to read Psalm 124. Please, let us open Psalm 124 and read through this psalm. I believe it is a wonderful psalm. Psalm of hope, psalm of faith. Verse 2, Psalm 124, verse 2. Had Adonai not been on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath burned against us. Verse 5. Then the raging waters would have swept over our soul. Verse 6. It is not enough. Verse 6. Blessed be Adonai, who has not given us as prey for their teeth. Our soul has escaped like a bird out of the snare of the trappers. The snare is broken, and we escape. And verse 8, one of the most beautiful verses. Our help is in the name of Adonai, maker of heaven and earth. Wow. I believe it was a Joseph prayer. Where to find truth? Where to find help? Where to go? Our help is in the name of Adonai, maker of heaven and earth. And now, here's the truth. How important it is for each of us to pay our attention not on problems, not on enemies, not on temptations, but Almighty God. The first half of the psalm is about the harsh reality of life, what is happening around us right now, and the reality of problems and enemies seeking to destroy us. This is the first part of psalm. Everything's bad, enemies around us, what to do? But the second part of the psalm talks about God's intervention, about His omnipotence, about the fact that He alone is the answer for us. Our help is in the name of Adonai, maker of heaven and earth. Think about it, maker, creator. He creates everything. He creates you. He knows how to bless you. He knows how to lead you. He knows how to take care of you. He knows everything because He is your creator. He is the maker of this earth. And our help only in Him. The Lord controls everything, and everything will be fulfilled according to His will. We have nothing to fear and worry about in the Lord. Therefore, Joseph is an excellent example of this. He became great, successful, prosperous, but most importantly, prepared for the salvation of his people, Israel, and all of Egypt. He was ready to be the second after Pharaoh. He was ready. He was prepared by the Lord. And poor Potiphar's wife, can you imagine, after he became the second? Ooh. I think she was sorry about what she did to him. In the end, I would like to talk about our essential quality, one essential quality of Joseph that helped him go through all the trials and become victorious in his life. So, and this is my belief, my faith. I really think about it. I want to share with you. This is the key, I believe, in the scriptures about Joseph's life. Why and how he went from the slavery, from imprisonment, to be the second after Pharaoh. What brought him out of the Egyptian prison from which there was no way out? So he was sentenced to spend his whole life there and die in obscurity. It was destiny from the enemy for him. But let us read Genesis 40, verse 2. Genesis 40, verse 2. From verse 2. So, here's the story. Joseph in the prison, forever, sentenced for life. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, with the chief of the cupbearers and with the chief of the bakers. I'm not sure why he was angry with them. Maybe they did some not good cake for him, but I'm not sure. So he put them in custody of the house of the commander of the bodyguards in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. The commander of the bodyguards assigned Joseph to be with them and serve them as their personal servant. They were in custody for some time. Then the two of them each dreamed a dream on the same night. The dream of each man, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each had its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he observed them, and there they were, looking miserable. Let's say together, looking miserable. I can imagine. Yesterday they were so important, and today they were in prison. Sure, they were looking miserable. Verse 7. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in the custody of the house of his master, saying, "Why are your faces so sad today?" This is the key words. Why are your faces so sad today? So, and you know the story. Then Joseph explains to them the meaning of dreams, and this is the key. And through these, the Lord gives him freedom. Through these, through his ministry to these people. Can you see the way of salvation for Joseph? The key verse, verse 6. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he observed them. Let's say, observed them. So, he paid attention towards them. He looked at them. And there they were, looking miserable. So, can you imagine Joseph, who was undeservedly humiliated, thrown into prison, and Antonio, where you're here. This was not an American prison. It was an ancient Egyptian prison without TV and hot water. We would have revolution here, yeah, in the prison if you took off TV and turn off water. But that was an Egyptian prison. It was a horrible place to be in. But he did not only did not become frustrated and bitter with God and people, but Joseph also found the strength to notice that they were looking miserable and serve them. Could you imagine? He was ready to serve. He was in prison himself, in the difficult condition, but he was ready to serve. Joseph had the heart of a servant, and his life did not belong to him. And here's the very important place. At some point of his life, I'm not sure when, he decided to serve the Lord and people who come across his path and remain faithful in his decision. He decided to do so. And this decision saved his life and determined his future. I'm sorry to tell it, but it's true. He was not thinking about himself, only about himself. I know that people trying to be happy by thinking about themselves. First to me and then to others. But this was not the way for Joseph. He was ready to serve others. And he noticed faces of those people, and he was ready to serve them. He asked, "What happened to you? How can I help you? How can I pray for you?" And through this decision, small decision, in the prison, he gained freedom, and he became the second after Pharaoh. This is the reality of the scriptures. And the same in many other places of the scriptures. We also called to this. We are the answer from the Lord to perishing people. And they can see God's love and His presence in us. And I believe that real joy and freedom in the Lord can be experienced when you take care not only of yourself, but also of people who need you. Someone once compared the person with the riverbed through which God's water, the water of the Holy Spirit, flows. And the more the Holy Spirit flows through us into the lives of other people, the more we are filled with His love, His power, and His glory. Living for God and other people, we become truly happy and prosperous. The Lord brings us to a new level of blessing and grants us new victories. Believe in it. Take this key. Use it. The Lord wants to bless you. And I believe one of the only ways to go is through service, through ministry, through blessing others, to be the voice of the Lord in their lives, to be the answer for them. Amen. I have few amens, I'm glad. Actually, Yeshua had 12 amens. And then he had only 11 amens. but they were ready and they were able to turn the world upside down. 11 men were ready to turn the world upside down. They changed the world. And we are here because they said amen. Yeah, I understand you. We are in the Jewish Messianic congregation. When we say amen, we think, okay, what will happen next? Thank you for doing that. Actually, amen is the name of Yeshua the Messiah, one of his names. So when you say amen, you proclaim his name. Thank you for thinking about what you say, amen. And in conclusion, I would like to show the most interesting prophetic aspect from today's chapter. Very briefly, 30 minutes, not longer. Yeah, no, I can't. We'll have children Shabbat school meeting after the service. I would like, but I can't, so. In the ancient Jewish tradition, the Messiah is called Ben-Joseph, son of Joseph. This title describes the 53rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah, where we see that the Messiah will be rejected, punished, put to death for our sins in order to bring great redemption and life for each of us. Just like Joseph, Yeshua was betrayed by his family and suffered for our redemption, as Joseph did. Just as Joseph brought salvation from starvation to his family and all Egypt, Yeshua became salvation for his people, Israel, and all the tribes of the earth, for all who humbly come to him for heavenly bread. John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. But the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But whoever did receive him, those trusting in his name, Yeshua's name, to these he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of a bloodline, nor of human desire, nor of man's will, but of God. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We looked upon his glory, the glory of the one and the only from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies about him. He cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'The one who comes after me is above me, because he existed before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace on top of grace. Torah was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Yeshua the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only God in Father's embrace has made him known." Amen and amen. So let us stand together, and I'd like to invite my wife Ina to share a quick announcement with us.
This
Thank you, Ina.
So today after this service, all the Shabbat school teachers and assistants, so we will have our meeting in Talmidim room. So I will wait for you there right after this service. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So let's pray together. In the end, I want to remind you, if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel. Let us pray together. Yivrechecha Adonai veishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.